Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 9, The Dynasty of Amshuman, Text 13. Simply by having the water from the Ganges come in contact with the ashes of their burnt bodies, the sons of Sagar Maharaj were elevated to the heavenly planets. Thereafter, what is to be said of a devotee who worships Mother Ganges faithfully with a determined vow? One could only imagine the benefit that accrues to such a devotee. Text 14. Na ye tat param ashcharyam swadunya yat ihoditam ananta charna charam boja prasuttaya bhava chida. Na, not, he, indeed, etat, this, param, ultimate, ascharyam, wonderful thing, swadunya, of the water of the Ganges, yat, which, iha, herewith, Uditam has been described. Ananta of the Supreme Lord. Charna Amboja from the lotus of the feet. It says of the lotus, from the lotus of the feet. In other words, Ganges is coming from his feet. From his lotus feet. Prasutaya, that which emanates. Bhava Chida, which can liberate from material bondage. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Because Mother Ganges emanates from the lotus toe of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ananta Dev, she is able to liberate one from material bondage. Therefore, whatever is described herewith about her is not at all wonderful. Purport, it has actually been seen that anyone who regularly worships Mother Ganges simply by bathing in her water keeps very good health, and gradually becomes a devotee of the Lord. This is the effect of bathing in the water of the Ganges. Bathing in the Ganges is recommended in all the Vedic Shastras. One who takes to this path will certainly be completely freed from all sinful reactions. The practical example of this is that the sons of Maharaj Sagara went to the heavenly planets when water from the Ganges merely touched the ashes of their burned bodies. Great sages, completely freed from material lusty desires, devote their minds fully to the service of the Lord. Such persons are liberated from material bondage without difficulty and they become transcendently situated, acquiring the spiritual quality of the Lord. This is the glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthai Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatundeve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskyadhyade Sitarne. This is from the Gita Amrita, glorification of the Bhagavad Gita. One may cleanse daily by taking bath in water, but if one takes a bath even once in the sacred Ganges water of Bhagavad Gita, for him the dirt of material life is altogether vanquished. Bratamrita sarvasvam Vishnu vakrad vinisritam Gita gangodakam pidva purna janma navijite. One who drinks the water of the Ganges attains salvation. So what to speak of one who drinks the nectar of Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita is the essential nectar of the Mahabharata and is spoken by Lord Krishna himself, the original Vishnu. Bhagavad Gita comes from the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Ganges is said to emanate from the lotus feet of the Lord. Of course, there is no difference between the mouth and the feet of the Lord, Supreme Lord. But from an impartial study, we can appreciate that Bhagavad Gita is even more important than the water of the Ganges. Well, it seemed quite easy if we wanted to make spiritual advancement. Just move to India, maybe to Rishikesh or Haridwar. Do whatever nonsense you want to do and just bathe in the Ganges in the morning and the evening. And then you'll get free from sinful reactions, liberate yourself into Brahman, and then fall down again for the next Kali Yuga. Therefore, we have to, although the waters of the Ganges is from the lotus feet of Krishna, and therefore is quite purifying, but it has to purify, as I said yesterday, it has to purify our consciousness. And for one who doesn't want his consciousness purified, it doesn't matter how much we bathe in any water, it's never going to become purified. Unless the soul is willing to utilize its free will to accept the mercy that's being offered by Krishna in the form of such rivers as the Ganges, if we're not willing to see it properly as Krishna's mercy, then we remain the same as conceptions about anything. For instance, we may think, well, I'm very unfortunate. I live in Ljubljana or Slovenia, and there's no Ganges here, and therefore, what's the hope? And then we go on to the next chapter, and it talks about worshiping the deities. We think, well, I live far away from the deities. What's the hope? And then we hear about the chanting of the holy name, and we think, well, I've been chanting for years, and it has no effect. It's just, to me, it's just another sound I'm making. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is essential to hear it, Bhagavad Gita, especially Bhagavad Gita, because we have to try to change our perspective. If one hears Srimad Bhagavatam about the glories of bathing in the Ganges, then if one goes into the Ganges with that attitude, then the Ganges reveals itself. In other words, Krishna within the heart says this soul wants to experience what the Ganges is actually like rather than what material nature is telling the soul Ganges is like. So we hear the glories of bathing in the Ganges or chanting the holy name, or reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, serving the devotees. If we hear the glories and we accept it and then try to put it into practice, try to have a little bit of awe and reverence, a little bit of appreciation, a little bit of adventurism, to be adventurous, and see, if I try it out, let me see what would happen. If I change my attitude for a second, because generally as soon as we look at something or feel something or get into a certain situation, immediately accompanies that situation our attitude towards it. Usually this person's good or that person's bad, or this person used to be good but now they're bad, and this person used to be bad but now they're good and tomorrow they become bad again. I like it, I don't like it. So instead of that, to try to see things with a transcendental vision. But the general vision is gata sangasya muktasya gyanavastita chetasaha ijacharata karma samagram praviliyate. The work of a person who's unattached to the modes of material nature. So that's our first business, to become unattached to the modes of material nature. So what does that mean? The modes of material nature got me and I'm unattached now. How are we attached? We're attached because we accept the conceptions that the material nature gives us. Namely, that this person's bad because they're dirty and ignorant. This person's a little bit better because they're passionate and what appears to be enthusiasm. And this person is peaceful and seems to understand things. Is not disturbed. But these are all different phases of the material nature. But that's all right. We'd rather be in goodness, hopefully we'd rather be in goodness, than ignorance or passion. There's a taste for ignorance, and there's a time and place for ignorance also. You wouldn't want to be in passion when you're about to go to sleep. And you wouldn't want to be in goodness. Well, you wouldn't want to be in goodness either when you want to go to sleep. It would be better than passion. But you wouldn't want to be in goodness, or in, you wouldn't want to be in ignorance when it's time to study the Bhagavatam. Now it's, the Bhagavatam is coming up, I can get a good rest. Tell me. So there's time for the modes of material nature. Passion is necessary. If you're going to fight in a war, you can't be good, so good. I'm going to gently hit you with this arrow. Oh, it feels so good. Thank you. So one has to see the appropriate mode to serve Krishna, that's all. The idea is if that activity is dedicated to Krishna under proper authorization, then Krishna, and it's done to please Krishna, then Krishna will enter into our consciousness. And if Krishna enters into our consciousness, then we wake up. If this is what Krishna wants us to do in his service, and we're doing to please him without any attachment to the result, then the result is that we can think about Krishna. We'll automatically think about Krishna, and that's the perfection of the activity. We'll actually experience Krishna consciousness, which is what the whole Krishna consciousness movement is meant for. Not to be materially or spiritually so-called successful outside of becoming conscious of Krishna. I did so much service, and at the end I became a rabbit. But as a rabbit, I was born in the family of devotee rabbits, and we only ate offered lettuce. So therefore it wasn't so bad. No, we have to actually put our consciousness on Krishna and do what's necessary. It's not possible just to memorize Krishna. We also have to practice with the body and with the intelligence. And with our words, we have to practice in every way in order to invite Krishna to come into our consciousness. Gata sangasya muktasya jnanavastita chetasaha. So one has to absorb knowledge so that we're observing, because we're the observer. We may not be the doer, we may not be the controller, especially of anything outside this body. We certainly have no... As it says, Nadati Kasyutid Papam, not Papum Sikritim. Oh, actually, the one. The Kartrivam, the Karmani, Lokasya Srijati Prabhu, the Karma Swab Sambho Yogam. Karma Sinu Vartate. Well, that was a real kind of. The Kartrivam, the Karmani, Lokasya Srijati Prabhu, the Karma Pala Sam Yogam, Svabhavas Tutu Vartate. Nor is the Supreme, the embodied spirit, master of the city of the body, does not create activities, nor does he induce people to act, nor does he create the fruits of action. All this is enacted by the modes of material nature. The material nature is made in such a way as to give us the illusion that we're actually the doer, the controller, whatever. But actually, we can't even get anyone else to act because it's Krishna within the heart who inspires everyone to act, not us. We're not the super soul. Either we inspire people to act in Krishna consciousness, or we inspire to act in the modes of material nature. But the soul, due to its independence, if it's Krishna conscious, then even we try to induce the modes of material nature to act, like the prostitute came to Haridas Thakur to induce him to fall down, but he wasn't very impressed. Matter of fact, he converted her into a Vaishnavi. Rather than being influenced by her, he influenced her. Therefore, everyone is responsible for themselves. And of course, if we act in such a way, if we act in such a way as to inspire others to act in a way which is undesirable, we also take responsibility for that. But we have to act above the material modes of nature if we actually want to become free from our material conditioning. I may imagine myself to be a great devotee because I shave my head and I change my dress or my address, but that's not what makes a great devotee. What makes a great devotee is a consciousness of Krishna. A great devotee is one who becomes a servant of another great devotee. That's what makes a great devotee. One becomes a servant of one of the acharyas in the succession, surrender outside the modes of nature, situated in transcendental knowledge. One is able to see things as they actually are by hearing transcendental knowledge and applying it within one's life and getting realization by the mercy of Krishna. The work of a person who is unattached to the modes of material nature and is fully situated in transcendental knowledge emerges entirely into transcendence. So what does it mean the work merges into transcendence? You know, you're chopping carrots and suddenly the whole carrot just merges in transcendence, trying to get it back because you need it for the feast. What happened to the carrots? Oh, I was so Krishna conscious. All the carrots just merge into transcendence. No, it's what merges into transcendence is our consciousness merges into transcendence. That's the one thing we have control over, is our consciousness. Everything else is under Krishna. Well, even that is under Krishna's control. But ultimately, that's our free will. Either we merge our consciousness into Krishna consciousness, or we're merging our consciousness in material consciousness. And what does it mean to merge our consciousness into Krishna consciousness? Brahmarpanam, brahmahayavir, brahmagno, brahmahutam, brahmayiva tena gantavyam, brahma karma samadhina. That a person is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom, because his full contribution to spiritual activities in which the consummation is absolute and things which are offered of the same spiritual nature. And Prabhupada explains in the purport that in the material world, or just like one is suffering from a disease called jaundice, from eating too many milk products. So the cure for that is to take another milk product, treat it medicinally. Similarly, the conditioned soul is overwhelmed with material consciousness because of acting in the material world since time immemorial. In material consciousness, he's accumulated so many conceptions under the modes of nature because of association with other people with the same modes with those modes of nature and applying them in one's life. It's not that we just hear about the glories of smoking. You hear about the glories of smoking enough, then you're going to think, well, what it's like? Everyone says it's so nice. Let me see if it's nice too. What's wrong? There must be something wrong with me. Oh, just practice. It's an acquired taste. Someone thinks, well, there's something wrong with me. Maybe I got to smoke more. I got to become normal like everyone else. Normal robot. No, one has to dovetail one's activities in Krishna's service. Well, first of all, we have to believe there's a Krishna. which is a problem in itself, that there's a blue coward boy herding cows eternally in Goloka Vrindavan, and we should go there. But if I go there, could I bring my computer with me? There's no electricity. No electricity? Then how can I get on the internet? There's no movies, there's no videos, there's only herding cows. Cows? I don't like cows. Milk? I'm allergic to milk. I'm a vegan. What am I going to do? I don't drink milk. I don't like herding cows. You can dance. Well, I hate to dance. What about singing? I have a bad voice. What am I going to do there? That's God. That's the highest entity. He's a coward boy. No education. Never went to school. He doesn't know how to even type. He knows nothing about modern science. He knows nothing about sociology, philosophy, ecology. He just herds cows all the day. And even Brahma came and he saw, here's the coward boy. He's supposed to be God. He has fruit salad in his left hand. He doesn't even know it's supposed to be in his right hand. After all this time, eternally, he can't figure out. He's supposed to have it in his right hand. He must be really slow. If you're gonna be eternal, and eternally you keep your fruit salad in your hand rather than a plate, and you have it in the wrong hand, he must be really slow. So we have to understand Krishna properly, and that's not so easy. Understand that there is a understand how this the spiritual world is a lotus in the shape of a lotus flower. Oh, come on, lotus flower. So how are we going to actually dedicate our activities completely in the service of someone we don't believe in? We officially accept I'm a card-carrying Hare Krishna, but deep within my heart I wonder, is it possible that there can be a person who has unlimited beauty, unlimited strength, unlimited knowledge, unlimited renunciation, unlimited fame? Is that possible? So that's what we have to try to figure out, whether that's possible. And whether, if he owns everything, what's going to happen if I steal a few things from him? Why would he get upset? Is he so greedy that I would just try to take a cucumber from him and he gets so upset he puts me in an illusion just for one little cucumber? He should be more merciful. He should let everyone be in a little bit of illusion. No, actually, it's not Krishna, it's his illusory energy. She's the police force. We try to steal even a cucumber, then she puts us in illusion. What to speak? Chora and Kora and Kora. Kora means diamond, or Kora means cucumber. Whether you steal a diamond or a cucumber, material nature puts us into illusion. And what's that illusion? What do you mean illusion? I'm not an illusion. No, we think with this body. So that's illusion. So all we do is have to think, do I identify myself with this body at all? At any time at all? Once in a while, during the day, for a few moments, I identify myself with this body, or this mind, or my emotions, or my vision in life I think is real, and I feel it deeply in my heart, therefore it must be real. So we have to see how much, am I less an illusion now than I was before? Am I actually doing something to please Krishna rather than put on a show for others so I can get something from them, or put on a show so they don't do anything harmful to me? What is my motivation behind my activities? Is it actually to please a blue cowherd boy in Goloka Vrindavan or his representatives? Is that actually my conscious and sincere desire to do that? Have I even thought about that? How sincere is my desire when I'm doing something to please Krishna, if I at all think about him? But that, therefore, we have sadhana bhakti, bhakti, to practice, so that what happens when we actually become aware of Krishna, then the result is we start seeing everything and everyone as Krishna's energy, an expansion of Krishna, and how Krishna is pervading everything and controlling everything, either directly or indirectly, through his energies. And therefore, according to the Ishupanishad, one will not hate anyone or anything. One will always be appreciating how wonderful everyone and everything is in relation to Krishna. Gradually, one can come to that platform. One's criticism and mental disturbance, by here I see something I love, here I see something I hate. What kind of peace of mind can one have like that? I love this person, I hate this person, materially speaking. Another one will always be agitated, trying to destroy the things we hate, trying to acquire the things we love, always trying to seeing good and bad everywhere. Sometimes good becomes bad and bad becomes good. Simply mental agitation in the material energy. But if we're Krishna conscious, whether we're in the Ganges, and we'll realize how wonderful the Ganges are, or we're in the temple, we'll realize how wonderful the deities are, how wonderful the devotees are, unless we're in the if we develop the proper consciousness by analyzing our consciousness and directing it in the right way, according to Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra, with the help of the super soul within our heart. Because the super soul will tell us, you're going the right direction, and he'll inspire us. And the super soul will also, wait a second, caution, red light, blinking red light, stop, don't do it. Nah, come on, Krishna, I need a break. Okay, go ahead, try it out. Again, Krishna, help, I made a mistake, oh, save me. I told you, well, you know. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So Krishna, if we take guidance of Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra, then Krishna will inspire us to go in the right direction. And if we think, well, I need a break in Maya, then Maya will inspire us to go in the wrong direction. And Krishna will keep silent. All right, try it one more time. Give it the old college try and see what it's like. But if we go in the right direction consistently, then gradually appreciation for Krishna and how everyone and everything is related to Krishna will appear. And all these misgivings, as Prabhupada would say, within our heart will gradually go away as we experience Krishna in every sphere of life. Either Krishna directly in his form, which is always should be there, and his quality in his pastimes, along with seeing this whole world also as being a manifestation of Krishna's pastimes. Therefore, Prabhupada writes that the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is even more important for us to read in the conditioned life than the tenth canto. Because the second canto describes how this whole material creation is a pastime of the Purusha avatars. And that this is all a pastime going on. It's just that we're out of sync with the reality, and therefore we think it's something other than Krishna's pastime. And when he sees things properly, he knows how to work in this world in such a way as to enter into Krishna's pastime favorably rather than unfavorably. How to become a good citizen rather than a criminal. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
I'm just wondering, any suggestion, any advice what to do on such auspicious day as Ekadashi to be more engaged in Krishna service and less in Maya?
Eat a little bit less, sleep a little less, chant more, hear more, think about Krishna more by hearing and chanting more. That's all. Ekadasi is meant to increase our hearing and chanting. And a little austerity, perhaps. But the real purpose is to increase our hearing and chanting about Krishna and service to Krishna. That's what Ekadasi is for. Pure ourselves for the full moon and the new moon. Anything else?
Thank you.
Kuala Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.